Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk powered this morning by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, tourstaffordva.com. Patrick Ahern is here, Riverside Center for the Performing Arts, and we're going to talk this morning about the sound of music, Patrick. It's here.
It is here. But what does it mean to you, Ted? The sound of music. Tell me what you think about when you hear the sounds of music.
When I hear the show, I think of the wonderful songs.
The songs. Okay, but you know it's an interesting question because I've never thought about the title. We immediately think about the story and all of that kind of stuff. But if you take it out of context, and you think, what does music? The sound of music, any music, what does it do to you? I think it's so apropos with this show and how it relates to everybody.
I never thought of that. You're right, though.
Yeah. Think about it.
Yeah.
And then think about some of the characters in the show. And it's one of those little things we do as directors. Sometimes we make people, you know.
Is this what happens on the first day when you get everybody together and it's a great question.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It's so iconic, and you immediately think of some of the more popular songs. All the songs are popular.
Oh, absolutely. No, I'm just throwing it out there because it's 60 years old, the show. This is the 60th anniversary.
60th. Okay.
Yeah. So and it's done so much over the years. It's just nice to, when you're doing it, bring a different approach, think about it differently. That's what I'm having a wonderful time doing.
And I can't wait to see it because we've talked about this and you have led on in no way of how you're doing this. It's still the sound of music.
Oh, yeah.
But you have done, you do these things sometimes.
I am blessed, and you're going to meet the two of them in just a few seconds, but I am blessed with an extraordinary cast, and I'm not just saying that because you know but I don't puff anything up that big unless I really do believe in it. But this is really going to be a beautiful sound of music. It's real. It's yeah. You know the songs, you know the story, all of that's there. But I think I know myself when I watch our run-throughs right now. I'm pulled into it. It's like I'm not watching The Sound of Music. Yeah. So, yes, The Sound of Music. We're here. The hills are alive in Stafford County.
Sarah and Tim here, the captain and Maria. Welcome to both of you. Sarah, you've been here before.
Yes, I have. Once before.
And you've been to Riverside for in a number of
productions. Yes, I was actually counting the other day because Tim asked me. And this is my 13th show at Riverside.
It is? Oh my gosh.
13.
Yeah. Wow.
Were you like 5 years old when you started?
Yes.
And Tim, for you,
this is not my 13th. Yeah, not my 13th. It's, in fact, my first time over here at Riverside.
How did you find Riverside? Or how did they find you?
It actually was one of those nice stories of references basically coming back around and good karma being a good thing, because I asked Patrick the same question where this email everything starting with like an email coming through and being like, hey, you interested in this thing? And then breaking it down. I remember it was Patrick's and my first conversation, and I was like, wait, how did this all come together and stuff like that? And it basically was a great guy that I worked with in the past on a show that gave me some phenomenal opportunities, and Patrick linked up. Patrick was looking into casting and stuff like that, and then word of mouth reference to this and that, and then it all worked out, and I've got to come down here and have a great time doing the show.
The first thing that strikes me with the two of you is, and you, Patrick, with casting this, you both have the look and the age that fits perfectly with the movie.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. I went, actually, I purposely went a little younger than sometimes people do The Sound of Music.
Yeah.
But no, I agree with you. I would say.
I look at them and I think this fits the mold good. Perfectly.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, they're sitting right here. I'm not trying to build anything up. I'm just being honest. But I really couldn't ask for two better people. I said to somebody last night, I've seen The Sound of Music a million times, and I mean this. You're probably the best captain I've ever seen.
Oh, thanks, Patrick.
No.
I'll take it.
I think what it is about both of them, I'm just getting to know Tim. I know Sarah for quite some time now. Let me do Sarah first. When I thought of The Sound of Music, she was the first person I thought of. No, wow. I mean, I know we know each other really well. Her other half is well connected at Riverside, but had nothing to do with it. And the thing that I thought most about was her sense of humor, because we laugh all the time. I mean, you know, I'm quite a bit older than her, but we're like two kids sometimes with the things that we do and the things we laugh about. And I know her talent, but it was that sound of music, or the sound of music, that her sense of humor,
yeah.
and just knowing that when I see her on stage, she can do a variety of things, but everything she does, there's a spontaneity to it and there's a realness to it. And so that's where that happened. And I'm watching Tim now, and he's done a lot of stuff, and I know he's trained and all those. He's a terrific actor. But on top of the being, having the art of acting, or that's in his wheelhouse, every moment on stage, there's something that he's thinking about. There's nothing that, you know, sometimes you see an actor who's really getting intense in a scene and then they drop back. But he's thinking, and you see the process. And I'm a big fan of acting in silence. You know, sometimes some of the best acting I've ever seen is when nobody has actual text, but they're connected.
Yeah.
And I'm blown away by what the two of them do, how they've created their own chemistry, and I think people will be really knocked out by their performances.
Yeah. No, no pressure.
Thanks.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah.
That's very kind of you, Patrick.
Thank
but
you.
I do think it's I appreciate you saying this stuff about the age and the type, because I do think one of the things that's interesting about the show, the musical version of the show, is the hybridization of the timelines between what happened in real life,
yeah,
and how things have been adapted into the show. Because it's not, you know, the sort of order of events tend to be very much parallel to what happened in real life, but to sort of condense the timeline of things to have it fit a nice, neat 2.5 hour stage musical, mm-hmm, they had to fudge some of the numbers and push things to here and there. It's only the second time that I've had the opportunity to do this role, but I was in my head a little bit the first time of being like, oh, are you too young? Are you this and that? And then it felt better to see that Christopher Plummer was 35 when he played it in the movie.
Yeah. And
then again, understanding the timelines of things, of how this sort of timeline that we're putting the universe of the show in, all of a sudden it then does make sense to sort of have the captain in the sort of age, yeah, range of what Patrick and I had talked about. So,
you know, I'm curious, I should look this up, but the original two on Broadway, because it was a stage production before it became a musical, Mary Martin, and Theodore Bacall, and they could have been in their 30s or 40s at the time, but people sort of back then in the 50s, they looked a lot older than really
they did,
what they,
yeah,
were, you know.
Right.
That's interesting. I'd love to know how old they were when they actually had done that on Broadway.
Have you guys seen those funny things when it's like people show the photos of like their parents from like the 80s or something like that, and it's like the guys, they're in like high school and they have like from the 70s and they're like a full beard and long hair. They look like, yeah, they're like a 60-year-old, yeah, biker, and they're,
yeah,
like, this is my,
yeah,
dad at 18. Like,
yeah.
People age differently now. I don't know.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, and for Maria being a little younger in the show, and then, but then having the sense of humor and the personality that you have, Sarah, is just perfect.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it helps me connect with the kids as well. First of all, we have a fabulous group of kids. I can't say enough about them. They are just, one, adorable, but they also just are so professional. They come in and they want to do a good job, which is just like, sometimes you don't get that with kids, or they don't understand, or, you know, they take everything we say or Patrick says to them and they, you know, go that extra mile. They're amazing. But I do feel like me as the actor is able to connect to them, and our Liesl is an adult playing a teenager, but she also has that ability to connect with them. And so I think we're all sort of, we are all finding that relationship really easy, yeah. Which I think is just makes the process so much better, because then our connection on stage is authentic and we're really having fun up there.
We did a quick break. I want to talk more about that. That's so interesting. August 20th through October 26th at Riverside Center for the Performing Arts, it is The Sound of Music. RiversideDT.com. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
It is The Sound of Music at Riverside Center for the Performing Arts in Stafford, August 20th through October 26th, riversidedt.com. Sarah and Tim here, the captain and Maria, and Patrick Ahern with Riverside here this morning. Sarah, you were just talking about working with kids, and I hadn't even thought of it until sitting in when To Kill a Mockingbird was at Riverside this summer, and to see that, and boy, that is it's a different dynamic that you all have to work with.
Absolutely, and they are the show. I mean, they are, I rely on them for a lot of the show, which is not an easy thing to put on a group of six kids. But they do a great job. And, you know, I feel like we're finding new things every day.
Yeah.
And they're really understanding the material, which is, you know, something I could never hoped for, so I'm super happy with them.
And Tim, I guess as it goes along, you know, during the show, and I mean, there's got to be some trust that, you know, they're going to have their lines, and they're, you know, they're going to be ready. And I mean, I guess you have to be ready too in case something does happen.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just, again, it's just a testament to the kids that we have in the show of it's when you have something like sound. I mean, I was talking to Sarah about it early on in the process. If I'm like, in terms of like the heavy lifting that comes in the show, right? Maria is the sun that we all like, you know, rotate around and this and that. And then really after that, it's the kids. I mean, they do, you know, the captain has a lot of dialogue and stuff like that. And Max and Elsa have some funny numbers. But the kids have probably the second most musical numbers. They're up there with Maria. And then in terms of blocking and choreography in the show, again, Sound of Music being kind of an old, like a classic show that it's very, you know, these amazing scenes. The kids have some of the most sort of choreography of anything in the show. So it's, you know, after Maria, they're really second in line of doing all the heavy lifting in the show. So it's great when you have kids that are there, and then you get their little personalities, and then they start to, you see the butterflies in the first couple of days, and they kind of get it right, and they're like, yeah, that's great. And then their face lights up, and they're like, okay, that was good. And then they get there, you see their confidence building as the show starts to get on. And then by the third show, they're just sitting there and they're like, yeah, I got it. We're good. They're like, oh, yeah. It's just, we're, you know, so.
I got them good last night. This is a cute story. You guys must be aware of this, but maybe you're not. As we've gotten into doing the run-throughs, the scene where the captain and Maria first, you know, they've fallen in love.
Yeah.
They kiss.
And, is that out in the gazebo?
We don't have a gazebo, but in the movie it might have been. And in the main room where we rehearse, the big Rhapsody room, the kids are way off to the right if you walk into the room. And of course, the state, we set up the taping of the set so that it faces the doors as the audience. And I sit there at my table and watch. And as the course of time has been going, I'll look over to my right and you'll see all the girls, the five of them, they're sitting there like they're watching the most intense movie. and they're you would almost think they have their popcorn. And,
yeah.
And I've been watching this over the course of time, and they do it consistently, and they're like these sweet little girls that are so enamored with, oh my God, they're gonna kiss, and so last night they got into the scene. I said, I'm gonna fix them, and I was moved over further because we had a designer run last night. And so when that moment was coming, I focused right on them and watched them directly. And all of a sudden, somebody tapped somebody on the shoulder, and they said, look. And they were, like, embarrassed.
So you were just watching them. Watching us.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
One of them came up to me after the scene. And she was like, I'm so sorry. I want to tell you that we weren't laughing at you. Mr. Patrick was looking at us. I was like, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
But I love that kind of stuff. Because you can tell that their little minds, actually, they're probably a lot bigger than we think. They're connected to it. Last night, I saw them, Catherine and... Vera crying when you're all getting together, and I thought, wow, you know. And it's not like they're pretending. I mean, they're letting themselves get connected and to real emotion, and I think that's really great.
It's always a nice thing there. Anytime that you do a student matinee or something for a show, or you have school groups coming, it's always kind of a bit of a gut check, because they always go that children are the most honest audience. And even if you think the show's doing well and that adults are just being very polite and clapping and applauding at the moments that they should, because that's how it's structured and this and that, kids will tell you if they like it or they don't like it. If that joke's not funny, they're not going to laugh. And if it is funny and your timing is good, they're going to laugh like gangbusters. Mm-hmm. So it's always nice where kids are true. They don't have the filter. They don't have that politeness that adults do. And they haven't been to enough shows to go, right, this is where we clap. This is where we give you the sympathy chuckle or something like that. Kids are just going to do what's authentic to them. So if they're committed, you're doing something right.
One of the funniest, and you know this girl. This was back in 2005. It was going to be my first time because I was coming down here to do The Music Man. And the show they were doing prior to me coming into it was The Sound of Music. This was their second go-around of doing the show. And I had never seen anything. You know, I'm just checking this out. I've agreed to come down and do it. And I shouldn't say this, but whoever was playing Maria at the time was going to be the Marion in The Music Man. So my niece, Caitlin, who you know, and my sister come with me to go see the show. And Caitlin was young. I mean, fairly young then. I won't even give any more context than this, but my niece, the lights come up in intermission, and she looks at me and she says, Uncle Pat, this sucks. I say, Caitlin, you know.
Yeah. The honesty. That
I'm not going to say any more than that. I'm telling the story because it relates to kids say whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But anyway.
You know what's interesting is this conversation and this far out from the start of the show, you know, a week or so, just how you tell these stories, you see how the cast comes together. How there's so much besides learning your lines and the blocking and timing and all of that, but just coming together as a cast, that takes some time.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think a big testament to that is people just doing their prep work, people doing their homework, because it allows you to come in and get going so much faster. And in not a good way, I'm one of those actors where if I'm still on book, there's no acting happening. I mean, it's just, I can't, I'm so distracted and you're checking down. There's nothing, there's no engagement happening and stuff like that. And I think this cast really showed up from the very first days of rehearsal, having done their homework. So then it just allows you to build that rapport and to actually start that, you know, chemistry and the acting stuff to come through early on. And then you start building rapport and you start building your version of the scenes and stuff like that. So we've got a lot of people that did their homework before showing up.
That's why the casting process is important. And I was taught that many years ago, that it's not that you're just, I mean, yes, you want to hear somebody sing good and you want to see somebody read the scenes good, but it's really actually when they first come into the door, and then trying to get to know them as much as you can through the process to see not only are they talented, but are they good to work with?
Yeah.
Are they intelligent? Because, you know, a lot of times in these situations when you're putting up six shows a year and you don't have the huge amount of time to do one-on-one with everybody to give them acting 101. you want to bring people in that are going to bring something to the plate, you know, and they're going to say, well, this is what I think. And, you know, as a director, I like to be the guide, not the person that's got to go step by step by step. And so I think Carson and I really take that process seriously. And, you know, this isn't the first time that this is, I mean, a lot of the casts that we have had have really come prepared. They've been really, rarely have there been instances, I mean, there have been, but rarely have there been instances where people will say everybody gets along and it's like a family. And that pleases me because the product then becomes good.
Yeah.
And the connection between the cast and what then they can bring to the stage, that's what attracts an audience. It's that real feel is like, wow, I'm really into this because it doesn't seem phony. And yeah
I mean the backstage dynamic I think is one of the most overlooked things sometimes. Yeah. Within a show.
And yeah,
and you get to this point too where I mean, and especially I think Patrick can maybe attest to this more of running a theater, of where you do, when it comes down to a judgment call, you simply will want to work. If you got two actors that are up for a part, even if person A is maybe a little bit more talented, might be able to sing the song a little bit better, but you know person B is going to have a good team dynamic and it's going to be someone that you want to work with again. I mean, person B is going to get the job 10 times out of 10, and you learn from that mistake that you want to work with good people, and then the talent comes after, because you've just, I think everybody here has probably been burned by people in the past where I'm like, oh yeah, super talented, but you're an absolute nightmare backstage. So
Saturday Night Fever.
And it's crazy because I don't get a lot of offstage time in the show, which is one of the hardest parts about doing the role. I think not because it's a lot of onstage work, which it is, but because I don't get a lot of like that backstage time to bond with people and connect. But I do feel like even the people who I did not know coming into this process, because quite a few of them I do know because I've done shows with them, or you know, I live here, so I know them. First of all, I respect the work that everyone is doing in the room, which I think that's where it starts. It's like everyone just taking that level, like Tim said, of just coming into the room and knowing your stuff and being great at what they do, which they are. But also, it's that like 5 minutes or 1 minute of a check-in to be like, hey, you're doing so great. I'm sorry that I don't really get to see you for the next 3 hours, but you sound great on this note that you're singing, or the nun sounds so beautiful, or whatever it is, or I get to check in with the kids rarely off stage, but I'm like, you're doing great, everything's going great. And I think Tim does the same thing, which I think just really brings the room together.
Town Talk powered this morning by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, tourstaffordva.com. It is Riverside Center for the Performing Arts this morning, and The Sound of Music, August 20th through October 26th. Patrick is here along with Sarah and Tim. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:31.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA, Fredericksburg, a Centennial broadcasting station focused on Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Riverside Center for the Performing Arts this morning and The Sound of Music. It begins August 20th through October 26th. Patrick Ahern here along with Sarah Mae Anderson. She is Maria. Tim Rogan is Captain Von Trapp. And Tim, how'd you get into... When did you decide you wanted to be an actor?
That's a great question. It's always, it's a funny like layered thing of one, I wanted to be a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle when I was a kid. And so if you can follow the A to B to C on this, was when I then realized that I couldn't be a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. My brother, I was like, oh, well, I could like play them in the movies. And then my brother was like, oh, and you know, like there's stunt people that actually get to do all the cool stuff you see them doing. And I was like, oh, that'd be really cool. And then I kind of started learning, and I was like, oh, there's people that like you don't just magically get like plucked from the sky and like bestowed by God to become an actor. You can actually like do things to start acting. And I was like, that's pretty cool. And then the other thing was, I grew up doing church choir and stuff like that. So I was always just kind of singing and performing and doing that stuff. And then listening to show scores, I always joke where Phantom of the Opera was probably my gateway drug musical. And then I grew up during the Disney animated film renaissance. So I had all of those incredible animated Disney films that were popping off when I was a little kid. Yeah. So music, we were having some of the best musicals ever written were just getting thrust upon us as kids that we now look back and I feel like everybody's been trying to capture the lightning in the bottle of what they were doing with those movies. So then with choir, it just kind of, I was like, oh, I can then get this sing these scores on a stage or something like that. And then it just kind of progressed like anything, you know, we were talking sports earlier of where you just kind of, you do the little league version and then you kind of graduate up to the middle school version. It's a little bit more serious and a little bit more disciplined. And then you start doing the high school version and then you just kind of start getting more and more committed about it. And I always tell people it was one of the two things that I never watched the clock on of being like, we'd be in rehearsal for 3 hours and then be like end of day. And I'm like, well, let's keep going until we finish the scene. And then and then you just get more and more serious about it, and then you kind of think, well, what if I actually studied this in school for in college? And then you graduate and then you think, well, I'm going to start auditioning for things semi-professionally or professionally. And so it just kind of continues to sort of naturally progress and evolve. But yeah, just that little kid wisdom of being like, cool, how do I get to be like a Ninja Turtle? And then that's
no one has ever said that is the most unique story.
It's just, it's like a little, you watch it's, I don't know. And I think the difference was when I was a little kid and I would talk about movies and I would talk about things with my friends and they would just talk about the characters or they would talk about how cool the stuff was, and I was sitting there being like, no, but like I want to do that. How cool would it be to like do that scene? You know what I mean? And it's just a weird thing of being like, I don't know, I want to do it. I don't want to just watch the movie. I want to be doing what I'm seeing them play
out. That's interesting. Yeah. That's interesting. Sarah, how about you?
Well, I feel like of a traditional path, but my family is all very musical. My dad sings and plays guitar. My brother sings and plays the guitar. My oldest brother plays the piano amazingly.
So you're the Von Trapps.
Maybe. and I, you know, was the loudest little girl. I'm the youngest of four, and I have three older brothers. And my dad always said he could find me at the pool party because I was the loudest kid in the pool. But I think, you know, I got into singing because music was in my house, but then I started dance, and I did dance for a long time. I got very serious about it there for a minute. I wanted to be a ballerina, you know, and then that sort of got derailed when I auditioned for my first play. I did Peter Pan in the fifth grade, and I sang Happy Birthday for my audition, and I played Wendy, and it was like the best experience of my life. And
wow.
Then I just got the bug, you know. I just was performing anywhere I could. My parents were just like, we gotta find some place for this girl to sing. But you know, I never thought about doing it professionally. I really wanted to go into business. And I had applied to colleges half for business and half for musical theater. And I was sort of just, you know, through talks with my family, I was like, well, if I get in for musical theater, then we'll talk about it. But like, I wanna, you know, I'm also passionate about this other thing and I can do theater without getting paid for it. So I'm not concerned about whatever. And that's the rational side of my brain. And then I got into school for musical theater at JMU. And I called my dad and he was like, I'm on the road. I'm pulling over. But it just like, it felt right.
Yeah.
And yeah, later on, last year, 2 years ago, I got my master's in business. So I,
You're still doing both?
Came all the way back around. But yeah, it's, I don't regret it for a second. It's just the best.
What great stories. And you can tell just the passion that, that you both have for this is, and again, it comes through.
Yeah, it's a necessity. I remember there's a great music theater legend, this guy named Norm Lewis, who came and spoke to us when we were in school. And he said this thing where you'd expect it to be super inspirational and encouraging. And he was like, don't do this if there's anything else that you can picture yourself doing.
Yes.
And it's just, it's hard. It'll test you. But I think there's something about when you just, it's a necessity and you're like, no, like, I have to do it. It'll be on my mind at all times if I'm not doing it. And yeah. It's just, he's like, it's going to be hard. So if there's something else you think you can do, he's like, then run, go and do that. But if you really think there's, I mean, if you have that compulsion and being like, no, I have to do this. And he's like, then yeah, run with it.
Have you found it difficult? Or are you going to say something?
I was just going to say, especially when you have something else that you're passionate about that you could do, and you're still finding yourself pulled to in the direction of musical theater.
Yeah.
It means that sure. much more.
And it's a tough life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going from show to show and script to script and
audition
working,
to audition.
Auditions and working yeah. with someone different, you know, every few months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a nomadic element to it of just picking up and going and picking up and going, and you build these. I mean, I think Patrick and Sarah can attest to it. We were just talking about it earlier in this, where you take this group of strangers. Some people might know each other, but you take this group of strangers yeah. and you just rapidly throw them together, and you have to form these incredibly intimate bonds, artistically and professionally, and to develop that trust so quickly. And then within a matter of weeks, sometimes just a few months,
it's over.
You dissolve and you might never see some of these people again. And it's a blessing and a curse, because I think as actors, we get to build these relationships all over the country and the world of you sort of have these pockets of your tribe of really, really amazing relationships with people that you don't get in other industries, because we do travel and everybody goes all over the place. And it's a bittersweet thing, because it's mm-hmm. beautiful and nice. But at the same time, there's some people where you're like, well, God, I would love to do a show with you again, bro. But we might not, that's not necessarily in the cards. You might not ever work with some of these people again, but you at least have, you know, that great period in time where you got to do that art together.
And you're working with different directors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's full like having teams,
it's like having a different boss every yep. couple of months.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And then you get these new roles and you need to become experts on them super, super fast. And it's that thing of dropping them in. I mean, Patrick and I were talking about that just the other day, of how him transitioning from being on the onstage side of things to then running a theater behind the scenes, and all of the sort of bizarre, funny skills that you develop as an actor of having to sort of be that CEO of your own business and product, of your own, you know, brand and whatnot, of you marketing stuff, to then be running things on the administrative and the business side. And he was saying, if he's like, well, you'd be surprised at how many of those skills transfer over into then running a theater.
And the one thing that they just mentioned, and you mentioned that Norm Lewis said, applies to the other side of the business as well. I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing right now if I didn't love every minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not only do I love it when it's at its peak,
but even the difficult.
Yeah.
I love that too. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that I love some of the things you go through, but it's a challenge, and you love getting to the other side. But you have to have that passion first and foremost. Yeah. I mean, I didn't come up like they did. I had no clue I could even sing until I was really in college, you know.
Which is just amazing.
And
like, that's a whole nother show.
If it wasn't for the journalism side of me, I had a professor at Syracuse that said, you should go take a voice lesson because that'll enhance your diction and your speaking on camera. And then I go in and start doing, you know, la, 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 la. And this woman goes, what do you mean you don't sing? And I said, well, I it's around my family, but that's not my thing. And, you know, I mean, to this day, I still kind of go, wow, how did all this happen?
How did I get here?
Yeah, but I don't regret it. Yeah. I mean, I really went in kicking and screaming because, I mean, when I was offered my equity card, I'm not kidding you. I said to the producers, oh, I don't want to be in any union. I just want to be in the play for fun. Yeah. You know, even when I did my first Broadway, it was still like, am I really serious about doing this? You know, and yeah. But I'm so glad that the Lord pulled me and kept yanking me into it because it's been nothing but, you know. I always tell people, you know, people are so worried about money and how much money they're going to make and all the things. And I say that the opportunities and the memories that I have been able to create through what I've done in the business, you couldn't put a price tag on. Those will stay with me for the rest of my life. So that's part of what we get to do is yes, all those people you meet and they go away, but it's all here for your lifetime. And that's being a director and assembling a cast. And to me, what just makes me feel warm inside is when I look at these kids that we're talking about, that I can be part of a memory that they will have, for they will remember when they did The Sound of Music at Riverside and the people they worked with. And to me, how many jobs do you get to do that you might possibly be able to do that? So,
but
it's all about the passion and the love. If you don't love it and you're not committed to it, no way.
I mean,
can't do it.
That's even one of those things that I think is one of the most beautiful and pure things about something like community theater, where you have all these people that have full-time lives, full-time jobs, kids, marriages, but they're going, hey, look, I had to take this consulting job to pay the bill, you know, I got kids to put through college or whatever the thing is, but still having that pull towards it of being like, I have to do, like, doing a community theater show, it's like rehearsals are long and it's hard and you're juggling everybody's schedules and stuff like that. But you have these people that are still, I mean, my parents were physicians growing up and I couldn't get over how artistic and even musically talented some of the people that my parents would work with and that my mom would work with, these people that were phenomenal instrumentalists and stuff like that, but their calling was medicine, but they still have that artistic brain.
Still want to do it.
Yeah, and they still want to do it. And there'd be people that are, you know, full-time physicians that are doing their local community theater thing because they have to do this thing. They have to scratch that artist itch.
Town Talk powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, tour staffordva.com. It's The Sound of Music at Riverside Center for the Performing Arts, August 20th through October 26th. RiversideDT.com. RiversideDT.com to get your tickets. Get them soon. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning. Riverside Center for the Performing Arts and the Sound of Music. August 20th through October 26th, RiversideDT.com. Get your tickets. Do not wait. It's not that many weeks, Patrick. It's the show, and boy, The Sound of Music
It's a long run, but we have sold upwards of 4,000 tickets already, and we don't open for another week. So, and daily, the box office is just going nuts with the advanced sales. So, it's a lot of people always think Riverside, well, the runs are at least 6-7 weeks, so we've got time, and then they find it's hard to get, you know, the seats they want at the end of the run. So, and I think this is a show you're only going to see, you want to see a couple of times. So you're going to see it and you're going to go, oh my God, I gotta go back. You
know? If I'm driving to work this morning and I'm listening to these two, I'm thinking I want to go. I want to see them.
Yeah. So jump on those tickets soon and you won't regret it.
Real quick, we'll do shows and talk more about this, but you've announced the next season.
We did.
Next year.
A week ago or whatever. Yeah, next year, 2026, I can't believe. Oh, my God. We opened with, it's called Summer, the Donna Summer musical. Remember Donna Summer, Last Dance, all that stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's going to be a knockout. I just hired our director yesterday, and it's somebody that I never worked with, but she's a Chicago alum like myself, so I'm really looking forward to for her to come in to direct and choreograph the show. And then after summer, we are going to do a classic story, Louisa May Alcott's Little Women, which is, this is the musical version. And this will be Carson Eubanks' first directing. He's going to direct the show. So
he's directing?
He's directing, yeah, yeah. So he, oh yeah, I mean,
it was just a matter of time.
He's more than ready. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So so I'm really excited about that. And then I don't care. I'm going to say it on the radio because maybe nobody's listening up in D.C., but the show that I'm not supposed to tell, I'm just going to tell you, Guys and Dolls will be our May into July slot.
Oh,
and
what a fun show.
I have been so looking forward. We've had it two or three times and got the rights yanked from us, and we're really doing it this time. So that will be the third show, and it's kind of, we're doing that big old-fashioned all-American musical to celebrate the 250th birthday. You know, everybody else is doing 1776, we're doing Guys and Dolls, so there you have it. And then another thing I'm really excited about is Agatha Christie's Mousetrap, which is still running in London today from when it was originally presented how many years ago. So so I'm really looking forward to that, and your good friend Miss Struthers may be coming into town to do that show.
Well, Murder on the Orient Express was such a hit a couple of years ago. Was that last year? Whenever you did it, what a great show that was.
It was a good one. Yeah, so that'll be coming up. And then I am so completely excited because I've been wanting to do this. This is my favorite musical of all time, and I just have had to hold back because I didn't think our audience would respond to it. And it's getting the most attention of all the shows on our season, but the fall of 2026, Sweeney Todd will be on the Riverside stage, and yeah, I'm just really, I can't wait. And then we're doing A Christmas Carol, but we're doing Alan Menken's A Christmas Carol musical, and so I think it's a very eclectic season, a nice mixture of different things to do, and it seems to be in social media world that everybody's buzzing about it. So that's a good thing.
You can get season tickets, too. So this is a chance.
Season tickets. And we had our biggest, when they went on sale that day, it was the largest sales of season tickets ever in the history of the theater. So, so it's all good. Good season coming up.
And a great show coming up, Sound of Music.
And let me just say one other thing. The entire cast for this show.
Yeah.
Is outstanding. We got a lady from that lives in London.
I meant to ask about her
coming in to play the. She's here playing the Mother Abbess. I am very particular about voices, and I wanted to find the one that was going to knock me out when she sings "Climb Every Mountain,"
Climb
and
every
she
mountain.
Knocks me out. And and you've got a mixture of new people in our cast, and some of our tried and trues like Kathy Alenda and Ian Lane. Jordan Stockdale, who was the lion in The Wizard of Oz, and Ari, what's Ari's? Maseka was the Tin Man in Wizard of Oz, and they're back in the show as well. So it's just a great cast, and you will not be disappointed in The Sound of Music.
Well, I am not. Sarah and Tim, you have been just fabulous. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Can't wait to see the show, and what a great discussion this morning. This was just talking. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
I mean, who knew we were going to go down that road?
Team Michelangelo,
Again, Riverside Center for the Performing Arts and the Sound of Music, August 20th through October 26th, riversidedt.com. Thank you, guys. Can't wait to see you on stage.
Thanks, Ted.
Thanks,
thank
Ted.
You.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.